Hey guys, my name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Genesis Point, and welcome to the first week of a new series we're calling Ready to Fail. And in this series, we're going to be talking about the fear of rejection and failure. And then we're just going to go ahead and just kind of take that head on. I was reading a blog last year by a famous theologian. His name is William Lane Craig, and he made this observation. He said, "I have been a Christian for over 30 years. I estimate that in my Christian lifetime, I have attended upwards of a couple thousand church services, hundreds of chapels, retreats, conferences, and so on. Yet during this entire time, I have never once, not a single time in thousands of meetings over some 30-odd years, heard a speaker address the subject of failure." And I thought about it, and I was like, man, in all my years, 30-plus years, I haven't really ever heard that either, which is not overly encouraging, because psychologists say that fear of failure and fear of rejection has become a cornerstone issue in our society, and it's growing by the year. Most of us in this room, we struggle heavily with anxiety related to fear of failure, and it begins to control our entire lives. It controls our thoughts, it controls our actions, it controls our decisions, and it hampers us from being who we were meant to be. The magazine Psychology Today actually released a 8-question survey, just kind of a real basic, doesn't solve all the issues, but so you can know your tendencies towards failure, your fear of failure. So what I want to do today is I want to walk through, well, just to start, I want to walk through these 8 questions, and I want you to keep track of how many of them apply to you. So you can do that on your fingers or however. Just kind of see, and then we'll secretly see how everybody did. I'll have you close your eyes and raise your hands, and somebody will count them. So let's just go through these 8. You tend to worry. Number 1, you tend to worry about what other people think about you. Number 2, you tend to worry about your ability to pursue the future you desire. Number 3, you tend to worry that people will lose interest in you. Number 4, you tend to worry about disappointing people whose opinions you value. Is that what number 4 says? Oh, well, fine. Number 4, you tend to worry about how smart or capable you are. Well, I'm glad you guys are paying attention. That makes me happy. Number 4, you tend to worry about how smart or capable you are. Number 5, you tend to worry about disappointing people whose opinions you value. Number 6, you tell people beforehand that you don't expect to succeed in order to lower their expectations. You might remember this one from me playing the ukulele 2 weeks ago. I introduced it by saying, I'm probably going to fail at this. Just be prepared. Number 7, when something big is coming up, you tend to get last-minute headaches or stomach aches or other physical symptoms. Again, every time that I get up here, I struggle eating in the morning, and I just get, So, yeah, I know that one. Number 8, you tend to self-sabotage. And I'll give you a couple of examples. You tend to procrastinate doing the big things you fear that you might fail at, and you do small things instead that you don't really need to be done, but you do those to distract you from doing the big thing. Another example is, if you fear you're going to fail at something, you won't accept that something until it's absolutely perfect. So you self-sabotage. Okay, Emily, I'm going to need your help, since you are professional counter lady. We're all going to close our eyes, myself included, and Emily, if you can count the hands that raise for me, and then make a note of each one. Okay, so everybody close their eyes. How many of you scored a 1 or a 2? Raise your hands. And Emily, let me know when you're done counting. Okay, thank you. How many of you put your hands down? How many of you scored a 3 or a 4? Okay, put your hands down. How many of you scored a 5 or a 6? Okay. Put your hands down. And how many of you scored a 7 or an 8? Okay. All right, put your hands down. Open your eyes. Give me a ballpark here.
3 to 4 had 10 people.
Okay.
That was by far the most. 5 okay. and 1 to 2, 4 and 5 to 6.
So we had 6 and 10. So we're kind of in that middle level. That it's something that fear is a constant concern in our lives. It is not dominating most of our lives, but it is something that we are dealing with. And we're looking at, we're looking at right in the medium here, that we live moderately fearful lives. And some of us stepping up, at least 6 of us were between a 5 and an 8, I believe.
Yep.
And really, the crazy part about that is, that's despite the fact you would think, well, we go to church. I mean, we hear verses like this all the time. Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will go personally ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. We hear verses like this, Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. We hear verses like this, Psalm 18:1-2. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me in the place of safety. Like you would think, hey, everybody in this room, we got it together. We're like a one. But we're not. And so despite the fact that we hear verses like this all the time, fear is still crippling and affecting our lives in major ways. When we hear about Engage 2020, one of the biggest responses that we've had and reasons we don't engage is we fear the failure. We fear the rejection. But we can't let fear control our lives. We have to face our fear of failure, or else we're never going to see miracles happen. I was thinking about throughout the Bible. Don't you think that Noah was getting rejected a little bit by his friends when he started building a giant boat in the middle of dry ground with no way to get at the water? We know Moses was rejected. He was rejected by the Pharaoh multiple times. He was rejected by his own people multiple times. We know Daniel was rejected for his faith. He was thrown in a lion's den for good measure. And we definitely, definitely know that Jesus and his disciples were horribly rejected. Matthew 9:24. Get out, Jesus tells him. This girl isn't dead, she's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. Mark 15. The leading priests and teachers of the religious law also mocked Jesus. Man, the guy can save others, but he can't save himself. Matthew 27. They wove thorn branches into a crown and they put it on his head, and they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and they taunted him. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And that's only 3 of many examples that you'll find throughout the Gospels. Because the point is, if you're following God, I'm not going to lie to you. You do stand a decent chance of getting mocked. Christianity is not super in vogue these days. So if you have a fear of failure or a fear of rejection, you're going to have to face that in order to follow Christ. Now, as to how you face that fear of failure and rejection, there are tons of books from psychologists, and they've given us tons of different ways. But my personal favorite is actually not by a psychologist. It's by a random broke grad student. His name is Jai Jang. And in his 20s, Jai was suffering from like that on the, that 1 to 8. He was suffering like a 12. He said he was suffering so much that it affected his business decisions. It affected his personal life. It affected his romances. It affected down to the way that he dressed and the things that he ate, that he would not eat certain things in front of people because he feared rejection from them. So Jai, he was struggling with this. He basically was homebound because he had so much fear of failure and rejection. It was paralyzing his life. And so being a broke grad student, he was like, "All right, I'll try to figure this out on my own." So he created a method to overcome his fear of rejection and failure. He called it 100 Days of Failure. He embarked on it in the most absurd way. His goal for every day for 100 days was to find a new and bizarre way to be rejected. And then, of course, being a millennial, he decided that obviously what you need to do is you need to video all of your rejections and then make them into a YouTube channel, which is where I saw it. So here are some highlights of wonderful ways that Jai failed. He asked for a free refill on his hamburger. That was his very first day. He asked a stranger if they would draw a portrait of him. They stopped him on the street. He went to the Apple store, and he asked them to fix his PC. It went over well. He asked to buy a quarter of a shrimp for a recipe. Not a quarter pound of shrimp, just a quarter of a shrimp was all he needed. He asked to split a lottery ticket with a stranger. He asked PetSmart to trim his dog's hair and then said, "Hey, would you do mine too?" He asked a dry cleaner to dry clean his tires. He went to a pizza restaurant and said, "Hey, can I deliver the next pizza?" So it's with requests like that, you can probably guess he failed a lot. He got seriously rejected time and time again. A lot of people laughed at him. But over those 100 days, Jai found a couple of fascinating things that I think that we can also apply to our Christian lives. The first thing he found out was that failure and rejection, turns out they're not the end of the world. Jai survived. He's alive today. And the funny part is, that's exactly what we've been told in the Bible. That if we follow Christ, that failure and rejection, the problems and trials, they really aren't the end of the world. In fact, the Bible gives us a different perspective. Romans 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops our strength of character. And our character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us into disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So yeah, failure is not the end of the world. The Bible suggests it might even be a good thing. The second thing Jai found out was that each failure meant that he ended up with a story to tell. Same with us. A story of how we survived. A story that we can tell to ourselves next time we face failure. Or a story that we can tell to others when they're facing failure to help them through it. As you saw in Romans 3, our rejections, they make us stronger. They grow us closer to God. They help us build our testimonies, which is what we're working on heavily in our small groups over this semester. So Jai found out, man, failure's not the end of the world. And that failure gave him some really cool stories to tell. It's cool enough stories for him that it made him famous. The third thing that Jai found out was that every time getting rejected became easier and easier. He was super stressed out in those early videos. By the time he's getting to day like 50, he's like, meh. By the time he's getting to day 90, he's just like, bring it. He was less stressed about being turned down because he was like, so what? I've had a lot of people look weird. They look at me like I'm weird. And it made him bolder. And so as you see him progress through the 100 days, his requests just keep getting crazier and crazier because he's just like, all right, hey, cool, let's go do this. He's like, what's the worst they can do? They say no, they snicker at him, maybe they throw him out of the restaurant. It made him desensitized to failure and rejection. And for us Christians, I mean, we have something way more and way stronger to hold on to. I mean, we have God, for crying out loud. And we can see that in verses like Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? Isaiah 43. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you're not going to be burned up. Those flames will not consume you. Jai started out, he was living his life in fear. And he found out, to his surprise, that no matter how weird the request was, no one really, hardly anybody yelled at him. Nobody cussed him out. No one threw anything at him or physically assaulted him. They just kind of had an odd look and were like, no, I'm not giving you a free refill on your hamburger. Did you seriously just ask me that? That's it. Odd look? No. Sometimes a harsh word. And even if they did yell at him, even if they said what Festus said to Paul when Paul shared his story in Acts 26. Festus, Paul shares his testimony, and Festus just shouts at him, Paul, you are insane. Dude, too much study has just made you crazy. Festus thought Paul had lost his mind. It's like, so? Paul kept on going. He kept on sharing because he realized rejection wasn't the end of the world. That it gave him some stories to tell that he wrote in the Bible that we're reading even today. And that it became easier and easier. Now, as for Jai, he actually learned one more thing. He learned those three things, but he discovered something that he really wasn't expecting. One day he went to Krispy Kreme, and he told the server he wanted a donut sculpture in the shape and color of the Olympic rings. Let's see what happens.
Visualize donuts, and we'll see what happens.
What kind of specialized donuts are you talking
about? I like to have you link the five donuts together, make them look like Olympic symbols.
When are you looking to these?
Huh?
When?
The next 15 minutes.
It's gonna take me longer.
How long?
Because I've gotta catch them on the other side, and then they've gotta get through the proofer and then drop in the fryer.
Okay.
Try, but what do you think?
Wow. That is really good. That is really good. Yeah.
I mean, that's the best I could do with what we've got.
No, it's good. It's good. It's more than I thought it would be done. So great. All right. So, Jackie?
Yes.
All right, I'm a fan. Thank you.
You're way too kind.
No, you're
way too kind.
You're really good. All right, so do I pay there?
Don't even worry about that. One's on me.
Are you serious?
Ditto.
You serious?
Very. Extremely.
Wow.
Extremely. That's my pleasure.
All right, Jackie, I'll take it. But man, you make me really happy today. All right, thank you.
Very
all
welcome.
Right, see you. Give me a
hug.
Okay.
Enjoy.
All right, thank you. See
you.
You're
welcome.
Wow. Sometimes you make a crazy request, you get an awesome answer.
He found out, even with his extremely bizarre requests, he didn't always fail. I mean, I love the honesty of his little commentary in the video. He thought he'd go ask, she'd say no, and he could go home a failure once more. But she didn't reject him. She agreed. She worked out what it would take. She went back. She spent 15 minutes experimenting with it. She Googled the Olympic colors to get it right. And then she gave it to him for free, with a hug. Like, how often are we like Jai? We go in sharing Christ, expecting failure, and we're defeated before we even begin. Like, we're waiting for that rejection so we can look at God and be like, I told you so. Why'd you even make me go waste my time doing that? I know I have personally been rejected so many times that I can admit, true story, that I had a time in my life where I was sharing the gospel with somebody. I automatically assumed defeat. And the person said, okay, I want that. And I basically said, All right, I kind of figured you'd say no, but I thought I'd try. Thanks for listening. Wait, what? The person was the culmination of some great verses, Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You see, so many people had come before me. They had laid seed. They had worked. They had loved. They had spoke wisdom and truth. But they all got rejected time and time and time and time and time again. And here I come along, and I got to be the one who saw the harvest. But I was so used to being the one who was rejected, I couldn't hardly even see it. I mean, it took like 10 seconds for it to get through my thick skull. The thing that we have to remember is we're not alone in this. We're not alone in engaging. We're actually along with the rest of Christendom across the world working on engaging people. And you don't know who the person you're talking to has had pour into them previously. I mean, you could be the 111th person. The 110 before got rejected. You're the person who gets to see it. See the yes. Or maybe you're like the fifth person, and it's going to take 76 who are going to get rejected before the 77th, the person says yes. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, said it this way. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. We can't grow weary. We can't succumb to our failures and give up, because then if we all give up, there's never going to be success. We have to learn to accept failure. We have to learn to be okay with rejection. And with that in mind, for the month of February, we've decided to give you a special challenge, which, by the way, will go in hand in hand with your Engage 2020. So it's not like, oh man, I got a whole different thing. I'm trying to work on this Engage. No, it'll work together. We're going to call February Failure February. And the goal for each and every person in this room and in our church and anybody else you can encourage to participate is to fail in February. I know, I'm not really clever with the name. Okay, so here's the challenge for us. We want you to fail. And we want you to experience rejection. And we'd love it if you can fail spectacularly, like Jai did. So the goal by the end of this month is for each of us, well, this month being February, is for you to be able to, all of us to be able to proudly stand and say, I am a failure. I have been rejected. And we can all celebrate that together. And there's two different areas that we want you to fail in. There's a spiritual area and a social area. So on social rejection, we want you to do kind of like Jai did. Pick something silly to ask to do. I'll give you Jai's ideas again. And here's what I want to make sure. Don't steal his ideas. Because we don't need 50 people going to McDonald's and being like, I want a free refill on my burger. And they're like, what is going on? But think of something wonderfully goofy and go out and get rejected by someone. Get super creative. I know you guys got some fun stuff that rolls around in your heads. Then, if you want, take a picture of it. Send it to me. We'd love to hear the story. Maybe we can get up and share a couple of them. Like, oh man, I asked for this crazy thing. And they were like, what? So it's kind of one of those things that you, let's just do it. So your first challenge is to fail socially. Your second challenge is to have spiritual rejection. Psalm 119:133 says, guide my steps by your word so I will not be overcome by evil. Now, similar to the social one, we don't want to cower to the evil of fear. We don't want to cower to the evil of rejection. Instead, we want to go and try to shine our lights. So what I want you to do is, this is where it really connects with Engage 2020. Ask people if you can share your testimony until they say no. Or ask somebody, ask people, can I pray with you until somebody says no? Or ask people to come to church until somebody says no. Now, I had to think about this, and I was like, okay, what's the worst case scenario? My feeling is the worst case scenario that happens for you is you're too successful. So you invite like 100 people to church, and all 100 of them are like, yeah, I mean, sure, I'll come. And I know it'd be terrible. It'd like double our attendance, and you'd have to deal with the fact that you single-handedly just like threw everything into chaos. But we'll learn to live with it. Unfortunately, you will just have to keep asking people until someone rejects you. We want to fail. Your challenge in February is to fail. To fail early, to fail often, to fail spectacularly. Does everybody understand the goal? Yeah, fairly simple. We hope what happens in Failure February is much like Jai, that we realize it really wasn't the end of the world. That rejection doesn't stop our lives. That we survive, that we learn, that we continue to move forward, often as better and more confident people. That we'll find rejection getting easier and easier, and hopefully we'll come back and have some fun stories to tell. Hebrews 13:6. Our goal is that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I don't have any fear. I mean, seriously, what can mere people do to me? And this idea comes up multiple times in the Bible. Because again, we live in Boyne City. I don't think that any of us are in danger of being like whipped in front of family fair. Like, I don't think any of us are in danger of death for sharing our faith. I mean, you may experience some troubles. You may have someone try to ruin your reputation because they're like, whoa, I thought you were a normal person. I didn't realize you were kind of like one of those Jesus-loving weirdo people. And then everybody starts to look at you a little different, or they stop inviting you to lunch or to the office parties or what have you. But that really ties back into our Death of a Salesman series, because if you sharing Jesus ruins your reputation, you probably have the wrong reputation. Because if you're a Christ follower, your reputation should be following Christ. If your reputation as a Christ follower has nothing to do with following Christ, that's a bit of an indicator of an issue. It shows how heavily you're living those two separate lives. So I'm really hoping that as you guys share your light to those around you, nobody's surprised. Nobody's surprised you invite them to church. Nobody's surprised you share your faith. Nobody's surprised you ask to pray with them. I mean, they may say no, but they're not surprised by it. Plus, just like Jai, sometimes, despite your pessimism, someone's actually going to say yeah. They're going to hear your testimony, and it's going to click in their minds. Or they're going to come to your small group when you invite them. Or you're going to pray with them, and God's going to produce a miracle. Then, just it's kind of like you take Paul. Paul previously, we had just said, Festus was like, dude, you are crazy. You have lost your mind. But Paul keeps sharing. A couple of chapters later, when he's sharing, some, chapter 28, some were convinced by what he said. But others, they still didn't believe. So it went from nobody accepting to, hey, some were convinced of what he said. But regardless of if the person gets saved or it comes to church or just they laugh you out of the room, you were faithful in the face of failure. I mean, after all, isn't it worth being seen as a failure to plant a spiritual seed in somebody's life? I mean, isn't the eternity of your coworker's soul worth the possibility of getting turned down? Isn't it worth risking rejection just for the chance, the mere chance that your friend will accept Christ? In the end, whether you're accepted or whether you're rejected, you have fulfilled the great commission that God has called you to. You have engaged Christ.